In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. This is the first time that I preached on Sunday morning in several weeks. I have studied this passage of Scripture for over a month. It's going to be about a rock, a brick. Before I get through, I hope you understand what this is talking about. I'm not going to throw it at Jimmy. I'm just thinking about it. But that's about you and about me, that brick. If you're saved, people say that they're saved. They are a rock, small rock. They're a stone in God's building. A lot of people say that they are a stone, they believe they in Jesus Christ, but no thank you to the church. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they say, I'm not going to be committed to the church. Before this is over, I hope that they understand or you understand it. Not too many times that you find a one brick building. And it's not much in itself. I can move it around. I can throw it around. I can push it around. Not much in one brick building. There's a lot of people confess Jesus Christ, and they say, I'm a one brick building. Nothing to do with the rest of the brick in God's family. I have no commitment to God's house and God's family and God's people. We'll see what God says in His Word. This morning, life on the rock. Now, not life on the rocks, but life on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. I know that I'll never be able to get all these truths out this morning, as much as I've studied on this, but bear with me. In the Bible, the church is often used as an army, as a family, as a bride, as a body, as a building. As an army, we should be in advance going forward as a church. As a family, we should be nurtured in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ, as a family should be. As a bride, we should be loved and we should love. As a body, we should be serving. As a building, we should be standing. Standing together for strength. That's what it's all about. One built upon another is a strength. These verses 4 through 9 tells us about this brick and how other bricks are laid upon this brick. And before the service is over, I'd like to give each person here an opportunity to come and say, I want to stand on that brick, that rock, and present myself to Jesus Christ and my commitment to me and my family, to the house of God, to the building of God, to the worship of God, what God has intended for me to be if I'm a Christian, if I've been saved. Verse 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, this allow indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elected, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confound. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient to everything that Jesus Christ has called you for, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us pray. Oh, Father Jesus, how we thank you, Lord, for the filling of this house this morning with your presence. Father, we praise you, O God, for intervening in the life of each person that's here, O God, that they made that effort to be in God's house at God's appointed time for God's blessing this day. Father, how we pray that you might take these scriptures by the Spirit and by the Word of God, and, Lord, you might present them to the hearts of the people. Father, I know, Lord, that I'm not worthy. Lord, I know that I'm not capable. Father, I know that I cannot preach your word, but the Holy Spirit might preach through me. And Father, for these great truths, the people need to understand that, Father, they are one of the rocks if they're saved. They're one of the stones, and they need to be added to the building of this beautiful, beautiful temple of Jesus Christ, which we have in him. Father, again, we just pray for those that's cold and indifferent, those that's never made this profession of faith, those that's never stood upon the rock, those that have it in their mind but not in their heart, those that's claimed to know Jesus Christ but they're cold and indifferent, those that claim to know Jesus Christ but they're not here today to help hold up the shoulder of this church. Father, we just pray that, Lord, that your word, Lord, will not come back void as you said it will not, and it would reach those people, Lord, it needs to reach. If they sit in this pews or they sit at home or whatever might be the case this day. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the uplifting of the word of God. And we see ourselves, oh God, is in that great temple. We see ourselves in Jesus Christ. We see the potential this day that we could be or should be for Christ Jesus. Help us to understand, Father. Give us the words, Lord, we need to hear today. Father, we thank you and praise you for this great day of Jesus Christ this day. We thank you and everything. We just give you honor and glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Amen and amen. Now, today, does and will the church provide a place of strength? It's tough times in the times that we are living. We're living and looking out upon the world and our country with great fear when things are being shaken as never been shook before. Seem like there's nowhere to turn. Seem like when you look and we see the crumbling of our Constitution of the United States, and it's beginning to peel off and fall in parts because we have got God out of our Constitution, got out of our country, and got out of our world today. Well, what are we going to turn to when the Constitution of this country falls? What are we going to turn to whenever we seem like the Depression is coming and we seem like everything is getting out of hand? And we can't turn to the government because the government don't have the answers. Well, what did our forefathers do? They turned to the Word of God because God is the one to help us through. But is the church has always been the foundation for people to turn to in times when tough times came. As a family, as a nation, many times this nation has been in tough times before. They always turn back to praying mothers and praying fathers when there was wars and difficulties. Mothers and was on their knees praying for their young men and their husbands and their fathers was in foreign countries dying for the just to support the Constitution and people might have freedom again. They turned to the churches by droves. I'm telling you, we in the worst time that I believe we've ever been. The crumbling of our United States and our Constitution, and as our church is going to be strong enough to stand, it'll only be just as strong as the people are strong. If we don't have a strong church at Pleasant Hill, it's because people is not willing to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. They don't have the commitment to stand to help other people. They don't see the need. Will our church be able to stand? Will our church be the strong church that God intends it to be? A place of strength, of stability, and security this day in this world that we're living in. Well, are you on the rock today? The modern person today in our country looks at the church for two things: a time to bring their family together to get wedded at a time whenever they need to be wedded in a church. Also, it'd be a time for funerals, whether they be in a church in 20 years or not. They expect the church to gather around them at a time for funerals. That's how they look at a church. And you see, we finally look at the church today to bring the kids once in a while on Wednesday night drive off and leave them, bring them on Sunday school and maybe not come back till after church is over, or may not even bring them. Grandfathers and grandmothers care less about Wednesday night than they ever cared before. The leaders of their family, mothers and fathers, cared absolutely nothing about Wednesday night and seeing their kids and set an example for their kids on Wednesday night, Sunday, and Sunday school today. Will our church be strong enough to stand the time that's coming to our country this day? Well, the church is looked at today in modern world as just a mild-mannered, toothless old line. Just a replica of the past. To be tolerated, but not to be taken serious. Not to be taken serious. As you go into Cracker Barrel, you see the old-timey tools and equipment and things in old Cracker Barrel. Most of us has been. Just replica of the time has passed, of what those things represented, of the strength and being able, what that era of time represented to this country that you and I are living in today. Well, you know that's all that it is to most churches today and most people here today. They just look at the replica of the old church, used to be old church, and used to have revivals, and used to people sit in the winters, and used to be they went for a week or two, and used to be there was no ball game, and used to be it was a church and nothing else. Used to be they have a sound foundation of the church because people needed a church. They was willing to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. They had commitment when they was able to come. And I tell you, when someone joined the church, they joined the church, they was willing to give their life and give everything to the church because they understood they was part of the church. Are you on the rock this morning? Are you on the rock this morning? The church is meant to be extension of Jesus Christ in this world. Hear me. And not just on Sunday morning. It is meant to be an extension of Jesus Christ in this lost and dying world. John 14 and 12 said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works." How important it is to understand that your life on the rock, to be happy and full of joy and have the victory in Christ Jesus. You need to be part of the building called the church. Now, there's three things in person life that you really need. First thing that you need something to believe in. This is everybody. You need something worthwhile to believe in, and that is Jesus Christ. But not only that, you need someone to love or something to love and to love you back. And you need something worthwhile to do. And in these three outlines, it answers all three of these questions, what you need. The cornerstone of the church, the construction of the church, and the character of the church. We need all three of these, and they complete our life in Jesus Christ. What he's done for us this day, to understand. Well, as we see this ring, old Peter is writing this letter, and you know what? He was called a little stone. Jesus Christ nicked him and called him Rocky, a little rock. You know what Israel has more than anything else? Rocks. If they can import rocks, that'd be the wealthiest country in the world, because that's all they have is rocks. And Jesus Christ uses this illustration as rocks. And I'm using this illustration today as a rock. This brick is for you to stand on. And he says to Peter, in Matthew 16 and 18 says, "Thou art Peter, a small rock that I'm be able to throw and move around." Just a small little rock that I can move around and throw around. This is you, Peter. "And I'll build my church upon the great stone of myself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Three things I said to make us happy in this outline. To start with, the cornerstone of the church is talking about Jesus Christ and himself. And then you see the construction of the church is dealing with you and I. These same things that Jesus Christ talked about himself, supernatural stone, selected stone, the slighted stone, the stumbling stone, all these represents you and I in the same way in the construction of the church. He names himself to start with to get it straight verses 4 through 6, that he is a supernatural stone. Jesus Christ is a supernatural stone. It says, verse 4, unto a living stone. Well, to start with, you know that stones are dead. They're not such a thing as a living stone. There's no life in this stone. So it had to be a supernatural stone. Because stones are dead, double dead. Anybody say someone's dead, say stone dead. Jesus Christ is a supernatural stone. 10 and 10, John said, 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ was talking to a group of people like you in here today that already has life. I have existence. They was living. They was breathing today. I'm talking to you today. You already have existence today. Everybody in this building, whether you saved or whether you lost, you have existence and you'll always be in existence somewhere. But Jesus Christ says to you, all you today, I've come that you might have life. You already have existence. You're breathing air, but you'll have life. Life is Jesus Christ. There's no other life except Jesus Christ that you'll spend somewhere for all eternity. As we see that I have come that you might have life. Peter called Jesus Christ that stone that gives a supernatural life. A supernatural life. Always, you see, we have existence, but Jesus Christ gives us life. If you could go to heaven in your lost condition, heaven would be miserable to you. You need a new life. Jesus Christ is that supernatural stone. He passes on to us what we'll see. But not only that, he is that selected stone, chosen of God and very precious. The object of God's love is Jesus Christ, my beloved Son, who that I am well pleased. And I'll tell you this morning, there's no way to know God the Father without knowing God the Son. There's no way to ignore Jesus Christ unless you ignore God the Father. And that is the end of it. All false cults of this world, all false religion today, ye believe in God, Jesus Christ says, ye believe also in me. I'm the one that you need to believe in. A lot of the false cults, or all the false cults, believe that there's a God somewhere or another. They believe there's a God up there. The Islamic faith, they believe there's a God. Jehovah's Witness, they believe there's a God somewhere. All these cults of the world, you say they believe in God. How come they're not going to heaven? Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, you shall also believe in me. Without me, there's no man coming to the Father except through me. That's the reason they're not saved. Just because they believe there's a God, they are not saved because they believe there's a God. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. If you ignore Jesus Christ, you're ignoring God the Father. God the Father, I'm going to tell you what, he was a selected stone. He was not only that, he was a slighted stone. He was very precious to God, but disallowed, it says in verse 7, it says, unto you therefore which believed in his precious, but unto them which disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Disallowed indeed of men. Not everybody is going to believe in Jesus Christ. Not everybody. And this word there, disallow, that means that they have looked at this person, they have examined Jesus Christ to the very extent of examining him, as many people are set even in this building. There may be some sitting in this building today, and by the Holy Spirit of God, that you are examining Jesus Christ to see who he said he was. And he is the great stone of this world, and you're examining Jesus Christ, and a person walk out of this building, they say, and they're disallowing this man called Jesus Christ. They have examined him, and they say, I do not want this man. That's why that word disallow. I don't want no part of him. I have no part of this man called Jesus Christ. That means disallowed. Many times you have bought something, or many times you go to stores, especially ladies, you look at this and you look at that and you think that you might want to buy it. You keep examining records and say, no, I don't think I'll buy this. I don't want it. Well, that is exactly what people are doing many times in a service just like this. They're examining Jesus Christ, and the more they know about Jesus Christ, the more say, no, I don't want him. He'll call me to have a commitment to the church. He'll call me to have to change my life. I do not want to give up my sin. I do not want to have commitment to church. They'll expect me to start tithing. They'll start expecting me to come on Wednesday night, and they'll start expecting me to on Sunday school, and they'll start expecting me this and that and other. They don't expect you to do nothing. It is a commitment to Jesus Christ. It's up to you whether you want to obey or not. But they don't want Jesus Christ. They disallow Jesus Christ. They examine Jesus Christ. And I have no time for Jesus Christ. I don't want to give my tithes. I don't want to give my time. And I don't want to give my talent to Jesus Christ. I've examined him. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. Well, you just go ahead, because you will find out that he's either going to be a building stone or a stumbling block into hell. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, the reason Jesus Christ said that everybody's not going to believe on me. In fact, if everybody did believe on Jesus Christ, it proved that he's not who he said he was. If all believed on Jesus Christ, because it said they won't, and his word would be void. He said, wide is the gate, many be that go therein. There's a narrow gate that believes in me, and few go in that. Everybody's not going to believe on Jesus Christ. No, everybody's not going to believe on Jesus Christ. When you examine him, you say, I do not want him. Well, what happened to the people that just denied Jesus Christ? Well, Matthew 10 and 15 will tell us, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for that city. You mean it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah with rain down fire and brimstone is for someone to sit on air-conditioned padded pews on a Sunday morning and hear the great rock and then deny him, say, I have no part of him. I don't want no part of his church. I don't want to have no part of anything he has to do with. I say I love Jesus Christ. I don't love his church. You know what? That's false and that's phony. And I'm going to tell you what, that's disobedient to the word of God, and there's no such thing. Now, not only that, we find out he was a stumbling stone. Verse 8, a stumbling stone, and what it says, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Jesus to the whole world is a stepping stone into heaven or a stumbling stone into hell. But you cannot remain neutral about Jesus Christ. You cannot remain neutral about Jesus Christ. He's a Savior, either your judge. And you cannot walk around him, and you cannot walk over him. And what you do with Jesus Christ is what Jesus Christ is going to do with you. I'm going to tell you to determine the day what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. But I find out he is a superior stone. Now get this in verse 6, a superior stone. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a superior stone, selected, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Listen, Jesus Christ is going to use an example now of himself there about this chief cornerstone. Now, I know that y'all heard a lot of people say, you know, when Solomon's temple was being built. Now, this is what they're saying in history. When Solomon's temple was being built, they didn't want the sound of hammers, so they went way off where they couldn't hear the sound of hammers in the rock quarry, and they quarreled up the stone to build Solomon's temples. And they would ship these stones back into Jerusalem to build this great temple of Solomon. Well, when they got started doing that, they shipped up what they call the chief cornerstone. Well, they brought the cornerstone when they didn't really need this cornerstone at that time, and they looked at the builders, looked at this chief cornerstone, and didn't know where it went. They just laid it there and walked around it, and they stumbled over this stone, and all the debris piled up around the stone. They didn't need this stone. They said, let's get rid of this stone. Let's roll it down into the valley. So they just rolled this chief cornerstone down in the valley. Well, when the temple was finished, they sent word now to the quarrels that we want now you to send up the chief cornerstone. They said, we sent up the chief cornerstone. No, we hadn't. No, you hadn't. We don't see it nowhere. We sent the chief cornerstone up. No, you hadn't. Can't find it anywhere. You better check you again now. We sent the chief cornerstone up. So they found the chief cornerstone rolled down into the valley. So they brought it up and it fit perfectly for they had the construction and the strength of that temple ought to be. Well, Jesus Christ is using this for an example. God sent a chief cornerstone to the nation of Israel. And that chief cornerstone was Jesus Christ himself. But you see, he just didn't fit in the Jewish nation. Hey, but just something about Jesus Christ just didn't fit to be the Messiah. So you know what they done? They always just stumbled over him. They stumble over him. Let's get rid of him. Let's kick him out. Let's get him out of the way. That's what the nation Israel done with Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. And he's still kicked off down there in that valley. But don't you know what Revelation says? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. He's going to come with clouds and every eye shall see him. They also that pierced him. All kindreds of this earth shall wail before him. They're going to recognize, hey, we can't build our nation. We can't build our world. We need that chief cornerstone. And Jesus Christ is going to be introduced back to the head of the nation of Israel. Woo! for you this day and for a lot of people today. And I'm going to tell you what, for family today, it do not understand that they need Jesus Christ. They kicked him off. He's rubbish in their way. We don't have time for Jesus Christ. He's in my way. I want to go on Sunday to a ball game. I want to do this on Sunday. I want to do this night, that night. I don't have time for Jesus Christ. I'll build my house all without Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, before it's all over with, you're going to be looking for the key cornerstone. It might be there in a bed of affliction. You're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, I'm hurting, oh God, I'm dying, oh God, I'm dying. You'll have time then to lay down your job. You'll have time then if you could come on Sunday night. You'll have time then to give your tithes to Jesus Christ, to build up the whole work of Jesus Christ here on this earth, but you don't have time today. Because the cornerstone is in your way. You're stumbling over that cornerstone. He's in your way. He's just in your way all the time. You see, this world, Jesus Christ is in the way. You say, get him out of the way. We're stumbling over. We don't want him. United Nations, you know what? The United States don't want him here either. I'm going to tell you, a lot of churches don't want him. There's a many, many families today don't want him. Persons don't want him. No time. I'll build my life without Jesus Christ. But you'll find out he'll be a stumbling stone to you. He's a stumbling stone to this very nation that we're living in right now. You see, in a time, you know what it says in Psalms chapter 2? That's what it all tends to. The king of earth sit themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. There's coming a time when I guarantee you people's going to be looking for this cornerstone. No other foundation can no man lay than that's already laid, that is Jesus Christ. Not on that, I'm going to tell you what, he is a solid rock. Verse 6 again, he's a solid rock. So this solid rock, it says, you know what? He's a chief cornerstone again. A chief cornerstone. Not to be confounded. What is that word, not to be confounded? That means not to be ashamed of. Really means it's not to get in a hurry to get away from. Most people are in a hurry to get away from. They want to get a hurry to get away from church. Well, they ain't kind of coming back no time soon. Where's everybody at from Easter? Get rid of them if you want to. Where are they at today? They're ashamed of Jesus Christ. A solid stone. I tell you, you need to stand on Jesus Christ. But you see, but Jesus Christ, realize what he is. I tell you what he is. But he turns this around now, the construction of the church, and he puts you into it because you basically the same thing. The construction of church. You know what? What he said about Jesus Christ can be said about each and every one of us. Because he said, you know, about us, he said, you know, we're the chip of the old, off the old block. You ever heard that before? Verse 5 it says, and ye also are a living stone. It said Jesus Christ was a living stone. He said, ye also are a living stone. You are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, assembled unto God by Jesus Christ. A living stone, a spiritual house. You know, a lot of people like this man was filling out a form to get him a job. They said, what church preference do you like? He said, red brick. You don't know what type of church he really likes. But you see, to start with, let me tell you something. The construction of the church, you and I, it said to start with, we're built together. As I said, how many one brick building have you seen? All those out there has no time for Jesus Christ in the church. They're just a one-brick building. A one-brick building. Not much in itself. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I just don't believe in the church. What can you do with one brick? You can move it around. You can throw it. You can move it around. I tell you, it's not easy to move around in one brick. Stay home. Stay away from Jesus Christ. Stay away from the church. You're just a one-brick building. I'm going to tell you, you're not really pretty to look at either. Ain't much to you. Ain't much strength there. One brick building. That's really all it is. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ said we are built together as living stones to commit our life to Jesus Christ. Not only are we built together, but I'm going to tell you what, we are banded and bonded together by the foundation of Jesus Christ here this day. This church here is called Pleasant Hill, the structure of this church. I'm going to tell you, if the foundation blocks of this church got together and say, hey, we're not coming back on Sunday night. We're not coming back next week. It's nobody's business what we do, and they all take off and go out of here, the foundation blocks of this church. Where will the rest of this church building be? You ain't got time to go. It nobody's business. I come and I get ready. Well, you're the foundation church, built one upon another. You don't decide it. Where will this church be without the foundations? Where would they be? The foundations. See, we need each other. There's no such a thing as a long-range Christian. Can't say yes to Jesus Christ and no to the church. If you love God, you're going to love Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to love what Jesus Christ loved. And Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, the old story is, can a person be a Christian and not have a church? Never, ever, ever. Ask you a question. Can a bee be a bee without having a hive? Can a sailor be a sailor without having a ship? Can mothers and fathers be a parrot without children? If anyone says, I believe in a cornerstone of Jesus Christ, but I don't want to be part of the building, what are they saying to Jesus? You see, this church is a beautiful church, and God built this church. Thank you for everybody that put a hand in it. You know, when this church is built, I call it very, very beautiful. Now, it really wasn't built out of beautiful material, because they're not too much blocks and, you know, lumber and old sheetrock and everything. Not nothing really beauty about something like this, are they? But you know what happened? They was put together, and old common material was made something beauty out of. I'm going to tell you what, they ain't very much to you this morning. Did you know that? They ain't much to you. Certainly not much to me. But I'm going to tell you, all together in God's house, in God's building, he made something beautiful out of every one of us. And just takes just an old common rock, like old Peter was. And you know what? He makes something beautiful out of that material. And that's what he done for every one of us today. Hebrews 10:25, and it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much as we see the day coming, approaching. You know, that is a command to every child of God to be where God expects you to be every time. And then we find out we're not only are we built together and banded together, but I'm going to tell you what, we blessed together. Or two or three together, I'll be in their midst. The day of Pentecost, it said that whole place was filled with the presence of God. Kings of kings and Lord of lords are here this day, whether you believe it or not. I want to kind of hurry. We have this now, the character of the church. Verse 5, it says, again, we are a spiritual house. You see, we are the temple. But not only that, we are in the temple, and we are priest to work in the temple. Did y'all understand that? He says, we are priesthood. We are a spiritual house, but also we are holy priest. Holy priest. We are priest. Now, we have privileges now because we are in the temple, but we are priests to minister in the temple. And we have a great, great privilege as a priest in the temple. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, having therefore, brother, boldness to enter in the holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and a living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, he made a way for all priests of God. You see, the Old Testament temple had three areas. Had the outer temple, had the holy place, and the holy of holies. You know, whenever Jesus Christ was on the cross, you see the veil for the Holy of Holy, it rent from top and the bottom. There'll be no more animal sacrifices. Everybody can go right straight in the temple and go right straight in the Holy of Holies. Now, that is one of the great privileges. I want to ask you this morning, did you go into the Holy of Holies this morning? That is one of the greatest privileges you have as a Christian, as a priest, to go into the Holy of Holies of God in prayer. That is your privilege that Jesus Christ died for and rent that veil that you might go into the very holies of holies. The sacrifice, no more sacrifices now of Old Testament sacrifices. Hebrews 4 and 16 also says, let us therefore come boldly. That means with confidence that we might come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. But you see, now we find out that we have the privilege of the priest, but we have practices of a priest there. He says to offer up spiritual sacrifices, no more animal sacrifice. But now it says there in Romans 12 and 2, and also Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, and be not confounded to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I'm going to tell you what, we have a practice as a priest, but not only that, we have profession of a priest now, what he does. Now, verse 9, it says again, but you are a holy, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you should show forth the praise of him who've called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I'm a priest this day, and I'm to make God known to man and man known to God, that I'm a priest today. Are you a priest? And also show praises to Jesus Christ. Now, I wear the robe. You may not see it as an Old Testament priest, and you wear the robe of Old Testament priest. But it says now in Exodus chapter 28, verse 33, and listen to what it says. If you have this robe on, and beneath upon the hem of it shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe. And Aaron shall minister to the people. What was this all about on the robe? You know what a pomegranate is? Shake your head if you know what a pomegranate is. And a golden bell. What was this? A golden bell. The high priest, this was the only robe that he had on, is this robe made specially for him. And what he had on this was a bell. Why was a bell? He had this bell when he went into the Holy of Holies to minister with the blood. I'm telling you what, those bells better be ringing. Because if those bells were silent, he died. And I'm going to tell you what, the bells is your testimony of Jesus Christ as a priest to this world today. And I'm going to tell you what, if your bells are not ringing, you are dead. I'm going to tell you, you are double dog dead if your bells are not ringing to the people of the world today to know that you have a testimony of Jesus Christ in your heart today. Well, what was a pomegranate for? That was the fruit. I'm going to tell you what the high priest had to do for those fruit was represented. You know what? The fruit that you and I must bear. We must ring the bell and tell the people and bear the fruit and show the people. That's the garment that we have on as a high priest of God. Every one of us today are priests. Do you have on this garment? Do I hear your bells ringing? Are you telling people about Jesus Christ? And you know what? Are you showing your fruit today? Are you bearing the fruit of another Christian? Are you showing the fruit today? You are a priest of God if you have on that right garment today. If you have on that right garment today, you see the privilege that we have as a priest to go into the Holy of Holies. The practice that we have, you know, offer up spiritual sacrifices. Profession that we have today is to show forth our faith and ring the bells and tell the people and bear the fruit and show the people. That's what God expects for us today, to do that today. Now, as we come with a song of invitation, one more time, we got a break here. One more time, you say that you're a Christian. One more time, I'm going to take this little pebble here, this little rock called the brick. I'm going to set it right here. Anybody that want to come and just stand on that rock, you don't have to stand on it. But all you got to do is just come. And you say, you know what? I want to rededicate my life because I'm certainly not doing what God wants me to do. I'm not ringing my bells like I should be. And I tell you what, I'm not bearing fruit. But I tell you what, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I have not committed my life. I'm not tithing. My commitment stinks. I'm not showing forth. I'm not a leader as a grandfather or a grandmother. I'm not leading my family. I'm not supporting my family like they should be supported in coming to church. I'm going to tell you why they look at mama and grandmama and grandpapa and daddies and the children today. We wonder how strong the church is. Well, look at the mothers and fathers and grandfathers today. Won't even come and bring their kids. I'm going to tell you, if you have commitment today, if you want to have commitment today, just come say, I want to have commitment for Jesus Christ. If you're part of this rock. Or you can say, well, I'm just one brick. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to have no commitment to church. Well, you just keep going. One of these days, you'll need that chief cornerstone, I can assure you. As we stand right now, the Lord has talked through the Holy Spirit of God. I hope he has convinced you today just what condition that I'm in. Not you, but condition that I'm in. And my commitment. Anybody gets ready to come, I'd like for you to come. Whether it be for church membership, rededication, whatever it might be, as we stand and sing our hymn.